Blog Talk Radio.
Poetry on tap, discovering me through poetry. I think we have Naomi with us tonight and Puddles as well. How are y'all doing tonight?
Doing good, Jody. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Hi, Jody.
Glad to have you both.
Thank,
Just jamming to that song. It's one of my favorite songs. I've listened to that for years. Five on my playlist. I hope you all enjoyed it. It's a song called Colors that, to me, I always enjoyed it. It's a song that, you know, goes into the different emotions through colors. And I don't know, it's just beauty and the complexities of life. I don't know, it just always stuck out to me when I heard that song. And it's a cool jam, too. What do you ladies think of the song?
Well, I loved it. What about you, Barb?
Well, as I mentioned, it had my toes and my soul just happen. I mean, it has a really cool groove to it. And I loved the words, too, that I understood. It just seemed it was about brothership and just being good to each other. And we're all family, and I love that vibe. And anyways, I dug it. I'm in the greatest mood right now. Thanks, Jody, for picking it.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, he was inspired for that song. Actually, so I guess he used to be a street performer, and he would sing on the pier to make ends meet. And I guess during this time he met who I guess later would be his wife, Adriana, and he used to laugh about how she had all these different emotions, and that's what inspired him for the song. Pretty cool.
Yeah,
oh, that's cool. Wow.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was, you know, that was part of the prompts for our contest that we ran, that Jody, you know, decided to go with that song. And I, of course, I said Bard in it. So, you know, I went out and I chose this really cool dude. I didn't know he was this cool, though. You know, Jim Warren, actually, you know, he was born in, and well, he was born in 1949, and actually was a bit of a rebellious soul. When he was interviewed on how, you know, about, he's self-taught, by the way, and, you know, when he was interviewed about how he's the advice he'd give to other artists, he just told his interviewer, you know, to tell the other artists to go the hell with the rules, paint whatever you want. And this dude, Jim Warren, I'm telling you, he has made covers, the album covers for artists like Prince, Alice Cooper. And he even won a Grammy Award for his cover art for Bob Seger's Against the Wind album. So, I mean, this guy, you know, he's really great. And, yeah, so cool because it goes along with the music, you know. So we have the music and we have the artist that designs the album covers for the musicians, which is very cool. So... turn it over back to you, Bobby.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an awesome night.
Yeah, you, Jody.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how it inspired people, for sure. Without further ado, if you'd like to get us started with the first song of the night, Naomi. You on mute, Naomi?
My gracious, I'm on mute. I'm so sorry. I was on mute. I put it up. The first poem is by Olivier, and we want to play. And Jody, if you want to go ahead, my dear, and give that a read. I'm so sorry, my gracious.
No, you're fine. All right. Here we go. We want to play. We're the kids on your block, and we want to play. But we're kept indoors all the day, all the day. All the grown-ups talk, scared to go for a walk. They lock us indoors all the day, all the day. They give us toys and screens and ignore when we scream. We don't want these toys. We don't want these screens. We're the kids on your block, Let's out. Let's play. No more toys. No more screens. Hip hooray. Hip hooray. Let us out. Let's play. Hip hooray. And boom.
How's your job,
Grandma,
Jody?
What do you think of that? Boom.
Yeah, yeah, me. Okay, yeah, you know, this takes me back to the time, you know, before the TV and the cell phones existed and all those screens that do nothing to nourish the souls of our youth, you know. Oh, my gracious, it's, you know, we need this rebellion of, you know, these, I don't know if these kids would actually do this. Would she actually scream that they want to go outdoors and play and they want to, you know, they want us to take away their screen, their toys and their screens and, you know, especially the screens, you know, all the screens that they have because, you know, I think they are witched into it, or they need it. They need it, you know, to exist. And Barb is gonna say the word.
We need to get back on the line. Wasn't he the one who figured it out last time?
Right.
Robbie figured it out and he posted the word on men in the group room that I was looking for. Oh boy. Anyway, you know when somebody needs something, they're addicted. Oh, I got it. They're addicted to it. You know, they're addicted to those screens. Oh my gracious, the young people today. And you know, I don't know if they'd actually scream this out, but you know, I like the message in this poem, you know, let us out, let us play, let us get rid of these screens. And, you know, I like this rebellious tone of this poem.
Absolutely. Nice comment, Naomi. What do you think of it, Puddles?
I thought it was great. I think kids today might be getting a bad rap. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg. What came first, the kids getting addicted to their screens and ignoring mom and dad, or are mom and dad so preoccupied that they find it convenient to give the kids screens so they're left alone and so they don't have to take them to the park?
Absolutely.
So I don't know what came first. I actually am leaning towards we adults have found it convenient to sit our kids in front of a TV while we do the housework or we make dinner or we do whatever. I mean, I'm as guilty as the next person. I found it way more convenient to have my kids in front of a screen instead of trying to help me bake cookies. I mean, that's terrible to say, and I regret those choices. But I do think we have an entire population of young people out there, especially, you know, little ones like preschoolers and young elementary kids who are craving attention from mom and dad. I think there's a lot of truth in this poem. I think a lot of people would do well to hear it and to listen to these little voices and take them outside and have that one-on-one quality time. And if it's raining or it's snowing, it's like sit down and read a book. Teach them how to write a poem, color in a coloring book. I think what kids crave today is that personal interaction with the special people in their lives. So congrats to you, Olivier, for pointing that out to us. We need to hear way more of this.
Nicely said. I agree. That was a very good take on that. Yeah, I think the poem's appeal, you know, lies in the ability to convey a sense of innocence and frustration. You know, asking us to reconsider the value of unstructured play in the outdoors and the development, you know, for the child's imagination and social skills, getting out, meeting people. It definitely serves as a reminder of something that's simple, yet, you know, very profound. in a kid's childhood. And I just hate to see the pleasures being overshadowed by, you know, a world that's driven by fear and technology the way we are. But, yeah, I thought that was a very good poem. Nicely done. And Naomi, what do you got on tap for us next?
Okay, so next I have Saying Goodbye by Derp, I guess. And this is a new poet. I never saw this poet before. Barb, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
I will do so. Saying Goodbye by Derp. At some point, you have to say goodbye to something, whether it's friends, family, school, or workplace. Saying goodbye is a human thing, but sometimes it's hard to say. I had to say goodbye to a few things, and it really was hard. Saying goodbye is a human thing, but I don't understand why it can be hard. But there's one good thing about saying goodbye. You have many memories of what said goodbye to. After saying goodbye, there are always new meetings, and there always will be, no matter what. It will be hard to move on, and that's okay. After saying goodbye, there are always new meetings, and new things will make you happy again. Like a newborn, you will love new things after a long time, with the same love to what you said goodbye to. After saying goodbye, there is always a new greeting so that you don't feel alone ever again. End poem.
Oh, yeah, that was a great poem. I enjoyed the theme of that one. Nice reading, Puddles. What do you think of it, Naomi?
Yeah, I really like this one. You know, that, you know, the hope is written in bold letters all over it, you know, a hope. And, you know, when they say the door closes, a window opens or something like that, you know, it's like this. It's very motivational, very inspirational, this poem. You know, when we drop a lot of things, we lose people, we lose opportunities. You know, we do say those goodbyes. We have to remember that, you know, like in the poem, new ones will come. We'll meet new people. New times will come. A new day will rise, and a new dawn. And you know, and we'll. That's part of life. It's part of life. It's part of moving on and growing up. And you know, it's just a part of life. And I think she beautifully stated that in this poem. Very well done.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything you said there. That's a nice comment. What do you think about it, Puddle? You did a nice read of that.
Thanks. Yeah, I think it might be a gentleman who wrote this. I think I'm looking in the author's notes. I see Mark, so I'm thinking it might be Mark who wrote this. I love the techniques that he used. If you just read the last line of every stanza, it summarizes the entire evolution of his message. But sometimes it's hard to say, obviously, goodbye. Sometimes it's hard to say goodbye. Pop down to the next one. But I don't understand why it can be hard. Pop down to the next one. And there always will be, no matter what. And new things will make you happy again so that you don't feel alone ever again. So I love the way he set this poem up, kind of like a cliff notes, if you will, just by reading those last sentences. And like you said, Naomi, I love the overall message that where one door closes, another window or another door opens, and just being open to stepping through those thresholds and embracing what's on the other side instead of always holding on so tight to what is behind you now. I think that's where a lot of the pain comes from, people not being able to step through that threshold with their whole person. So I think Mark did a really good job just helping us understand how positive and healthy it can be to say goodbye so that you have your hands available to shake the next person's hand.
Absolutely, I agree. Very well said. So yeah, for me, I thought, you know, letting go, it, for some reason, that it feels like nothing kills you slower than letting go. I don't, we've always, for me, I've always tried to hold on a lot longer than I probably should in certain situations. But I thought he explored this very well, you know, weaving together the inevitability of goodbyes with the hope and prospect of new beginnings. Yeah, it's very well done. I think, you know, the hope and the continuity of it, suggesting that goodbyes are, you know, part of our life. And, you know, that's just going to be part of our experience. So, yeah, I thought that was a very good write. Nicely done. All right. So where do we go next, Naomi?
Well, you know, next we have another, right? You know, I just want to precise to people, you know, these are our carryovers from our last contest, which was called New Beginnings, which Delina had up. So we have a couple of carryovers to get through before we do get into our Black Pumas and Jim Warren art. So the next write is by Kame, The New Me, and I guess it's my turn to read. So this goes like this. 3 years ago, I lived in a broke-down house. I sold it, took a chance, and moved in with my oldest. I lived there for a year, then realized they needed their own space. So once again, I moved to a new place and town. But this time I went home. I went home to my roots. I got a house, remade my old friends and some new ones, said goodbye to an ex and found the man of my dreams. Got a house better than any I've ever had. Started new treatment and a new mental health team. New doctors who understand me and have people who love me and help take care of me. Letting go was the best thing I could ever have ever done to put me here with the people I've always needed. End poem. And you know what, an authentic poem, real and raw, most authentic write on starting over, letting go of the past, finding a better life and true happiness. And, this is really, you know, an amazing and inspiring piece of work. And, I believe this is true. Oh, my God, it can't be not true. It rings just too authentic to not be just pouring out of somebody's soul. And, you know, sometimes the best thing you can do is to move on and, to say bye and move on and, you know, for yourself, think of yourself and think of your future. So a great, great write here by Kane.
Absolutely. I agree. Nicely said. What do you think, Puzzles?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful poem. I thought it was well placed right behind saying goodbye because here, the poem we just read, because this is just taking that concept and giving it some teeth. It's a very specific story about a very real person and how walking through that door, learning to open yourself up to new experiences, making some of those hard choices to move forward and leaving some bad stuff behind so that you're free to embrace new positive things, how it can have a wonderful outcome. And here she writes, have people who love me and help take care of me. Letting go was the best thing I could have ever done to put me here with the people I've always needed. Often where we are isn't where we need to be. We're not surrounded by the people who can help us. And anyone who's dealing with mental health issues needs a real support network, and making sure you're surrounded by those supportive people is really, really important. Good things can happen if you learn some self-care. So kudos to Kame for realizing her need and going out and getting it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Nice comment. It's tough out there, especially if you don't feel like you have anyone in your life. Move to a new town and just pretty much just start over with a blank canvas. And it obviously seemed to do well for her in this poem. I'm glad she shared that with us. Very good, right? Nicely done. All right. Where are we going next, Naomi?
So next we have a poem, Carpe Diem by Fran Marie. And I think I'm going to get Puddles to read this one, Jody, and I'll get you to read the next one.
All right. Sounds fair.
Okay, Carpe Diem by Fran Marie. Rough nights of darkness have steered my rugged life's course, running with wild wolves, chasing hollow winds, whipping empty dreams into further oblivious dimensions. And I still seek in solemn whispers for something real to clutch, to hold on to in auras of golden light, perchance to love. And I have wasted precious moments pursuing foolish things more than I care to admit. Time itself permits no more as it races round the end's bend of a daunting, dismal road. And I, in conclusion, will nourish life's existence in full measure, fly with the soft, murmuring breeze into wondrous, calm realms, seizing each new day. End poem.
Wow, that was incredible, right? Nicely read, too. Thank you. Naomi, what did you think about that?
Well, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but Carpe Diem, I actually looked it up. And, of course, I knew it meant seize the day. But literally, if you translate it word from word, it actually means pluck the day. And, you have her here, about like to flying, like kind of, I feel her like she's flying here, and in that way, pluck the day, it just goes with it, even with the artwork, she has her hands back, like as if they're wings there in that art piece. And, I really dig the title, Carpe Diem. And, I did so many parts of this that I loved, oh my gracious, but I love Fran Marie, of course. Chasing hollow winds, whipping empty dreams into further oblivious dimensions. And the repetition of and I, and I, and I. It's just so beautiful in the poem, and it just made it all that more powerful and meaningful. Time itself permits no more as it races round the end bend of a daunting, dismal road. And I, in conclusion, will nourish life's existence in full measure, fly with the soft, murmuring breeze. See, you have to fly there. I knew we had it in there somewhere. And, to meet that pluck the day, that literal meaning, into the, fly the soft, murmuring breeze into wondrous, calm realms, seizing each new day. And, what a wonderful, inspiring, right? Just so beautifully composed by Fran Marie here. Just amazing, amazing work.
Yeah, great comment. I agree. She did a wonderful job with this. I love how she said, time itself permits no more as it races round the ends bend of a daunting, dismal road. That's a great stanza right there. I like that. It just encapsulates like what we all need to really do. There's plenty of times in my life that I just felt like I've wasted too much time on certain things, and you miss a lot when you do that. you stick to what you think is your thing, you end up missing out on the rest, and before you know it, life has done passed you by. So, yeah, I thought that was a very good write. Nicely done. All right.
Did you ask Barb?
No, I didn't. Sorry, Barb.
No worries. Yeah, you guys
we
have said it all the
way.
Oh yeah. You guys have said it all, but what I really noticed was I loved the evolution. I loved the journey. She took us from rough nights of darkness to seizing each new day. And it was such a subtle journey. Like, you don't even realize that you're going to end up in a great place. All you know of you've started somewhere not so positive. But little step, and make this choice and move this direction and, you know, speak in solemn whispers. So there's some seeking. There's some active things you need to do to get yourself from a bad place to a better place. And I thought that Fran Marie did a really good job of making that a very subtle, seamless, beautiful journey. Great word choices, a lot of flow. I loved her technique. I loved how she had the "and I," like you had said, Naomi, bringing out the and I. It's like, pause here. We're going somewhere new. I just thought it was a beautiful poem, really smartly written. Great work.
Awesome. Very well said. I agree. It was just an awesome piece of poetry for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Naomi, you ready to go to the next one now?
Yeah. Next we have Roshini Creation and the Story of My Steps. And, well, I guess Jody, I thought there was a guy's poem in there someplace, but...
<That's all right.
laughs> Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. The Story of My Steps. The hands of trauma shaped me into a million broken pieces. So useless, into a million broken pieces. So worthless. Pieces whose rough edges told tales of pain and scars with every step I took, everywhere I went. This was the story of my life until my million broken pieces came into contact with the mighty pressuring power of the ocean of God's word. The ocean currents of his word tossed and turned me. The ocean currents of his word polished and refined me. The ocean currents of his word did all these things to me, transforming me from broken, rough, and worthless to smooth, whole, and treasured greatness. So now the story of my steps will no longer be tales of pain and scars, but instead tales of what life looks like when you're healed from pain and scars. And poem. Nicely done. That was a very well-written poem. Puddles, what did you think of that poem?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful that life really is a matter of perspective. You can focus on the broken pieces, the cuts and the scars, or you can look at perhaps the lessons that they've taught you and open yourself up to being healed by God. For the people who, you know, have that faith, it can be a very positive healing thing in your life. And it can give you the power to be able to redefine a scar as a lesson that you've learned from and grown from and become stronger from. Thing about scar tissue, if you just take a piece of flesh, it's very soft and supple and easily cut. You get scar tissue, it's just like layer upon layer upon layer of skin that's folded on in and of itself. It's really hard to cut a scar. So you're stronger where you've been broken. And I just thought she did a beautiful job of sharing her journey with us and how it was the word of God that gave her that vision to redefine her scars to something perhaps not beautiful, but something she's accepted as part of who she is.
Absolutely. That was well said. What do you think, Naomi?
Oh, I have to applaud, Barb on her comment. That was an awesome comment, you know. On the layers of skin, you know, of scarred tissue that become, you know, and it's true that they become so hard, you know, and you know, they're a lot more resistant than, you know, than the other parts of you, you know. So in that way, you know, it's so true that scars help you evolve and help you, you know, become stronger. I just love when she says, so now the story of my steps will be will no longer be tales of pain and scars, but instead tales of what life looks like when you're healed from pains and scars. And, you know, this is a wonderful right, Oshini, on how health, faith can help heal and bring you happiness. It's such a beautiful, beautiful rite.
Absolutely. I agree. She did a wonderful job with this poem. And kind of another poem of letting go, right? You know, you're burdened with all what life puts on us and think that you got to carry it yourself. And, you know, when you find, you know, the power of faith, it allows you to just let it go, just release it all. You don't have to be burdened by all that. I thought she spoke of that idea of healing and the wholeness that can be found through spiritual guidance and the impact of, you know, the divine teachings. It's a very vivid picture of personal growth and resilience. I thought overall it was just very moving and uplifting expression of hope and renewal and what we all face is adversity in our life. Very well written. Nicely done. All right. Where to next, Naomi?
Hey, we're rocking this thing. And we're going towards Weaver of Dreams. And the poem's called Wisdom. And she wrote to Knowing Yourself is the Beginning of All Wisdom by Aristotle. And this is a short one for me. Yeah. I will always endeavor to attempt to be honest with myself. And you too. Although honesty is highly prized, it sometimes hurts. And I question myself. Am I being so brutally honest for your sake, or do I merely want to appear as the better person? End poem.
Interesting. All right. What did you think of that one, Puddles?
I thought she packed an awful lot of important messaging in a tight little package. I also love how it's like, She's going to try her best. Like, no promises of perfection, which is good since none of us can meet that mark. So I will always endeavor to attempt to be honest with myself and you too. So I think it's great that there's a realism built right into this poem, just saying, I'm going to do my best, friend, myself as a friend and you as a friend. And prizing honesty is definitely the best way to live. So I thought that she packed a lot of really important messages in here. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I thought the poem reflected the internal struggle and, you know, how complex it can be, to be honest. I thought the format was on point. You know, it had a gradual buildup of words and then the deliberate spacings. Mirrors the idea that honesty is a gradual and thoughtful process, I think. Very thought-provoking exploration of the complexity surrounding, you know, self-perception and honesty. So, yeah, I thought she did very well in such a short poem at that. Nicely done. What did you think, Naomi? You did a great read of that.
Yeah, you know, she packs questions upon questions. You know, when you start to question yourself, sometimes you can go on and on and on and on and on, and, you know, you never stop, you know. Well, I'm like that, you know. And, oh, my gracious, you question yourself. And here, it's a fine example of that, you know. You know, she wants to do well. She attempts to be honest with myself and you too, but then she questions herself on top of that. Then I'll ask, question myself, am I being so brutally honest for your sake, or do I merely want to appear as a better person? So, you know, to what point is she truly being honest? You know? So, you know, it's question upon question. And it makes me laugh, Katie. Because, you know, and then I said, you know, very wise words, Katie. You know, I thought this was so thought-provoking. And she answers me, thank you, Naomi. I astound myself sometimes, although I'm pretty sure I don't know what I'm talking about. So that baby. That made me laugh. But, you know, I thought this was very thought-provoking, and, you know, it really made me pause, and I had to reread it a couple of times. So, you know, great write from Katie. Absolutely well done.
If I could just add one thing. Yeah. I'm actually have been told that I'm, like, painfully honest with situations and with people, and I'm never appearing as the better person. So there's, like, for me, that was a little bit counterintuitive. So I'm sure that there's something underlying in this message, because when I'm brutally honest with people, it tends to hurt them. And so I don't come off as being the better person. I come off as not being socially insensitive. You know, I get slapped with that a lot. But I find it interesting. I would love to find a way. I think that's a real gift, to find a way to be honest in a loving enough way that you can actually be seen as helping the person that you're being honest with. I think there's a real craft to that, and I think that's what Katie must be alluding to, that, you know, honesty doesn't have to be hurtful. Definitely something to aspire to.
Yeah, great comment. But I think you answered your own question. Yeah, I think through love you can be honest, you know, if you say it in a loving way, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, honesty, when someone gives me honesty and I don't like it, that's a me problem. That's not their problem. They're just being honest, right? That's something I need to work on myself if I don't agree with it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not really the person being honest's fault for being honest, I wouldn't think. Well, that's interesting. Interesting to think about that. All right. So, where would we go next, Miss Naomi?
We're going to Sandy G and Vaquero Pistolero. Vaquero Pistolero, I guess. And Jody, your turn. Idea.
All right. Vaquero Pistolero. I just wanted to try to say that. All right. A young vaquero pistolero awoke on a bed in the cantina just across the Rio Grande, north of Old Fort Stockton, where he had spent the night. Today began a journey to the Verdon Hill Hidden Valley, east of Ciudad Uvalde, to work as a vaquero, or hire out his gun. He planned to ride the mountains, hunt pronghorn on the grasslands as they grazed among the scrub oak, stalk the javelina down the arroyos, rooting through the pines, camp among the chala and agave beside the juniper and hemp, the yucca and the lupin, slowly sipping his tequila, listening to the babble of the spring. He washed the sleep from his eyes, saddled up his steady pinto, rolled his borrowed rubber poncho, kissed the lovely senorita, rode smiling into sunrise. Impone. All right. I don't want to have to read that one again. What do you think about it, Naomi? I'm on mute.
Sorry. Yeah, I was going back. I'm just going back to all poetry to that poem because I was checking out Vaquero, what that meant, Vaquero Pistolero, and I guess it just means cowboy. And yeah. I thought it meant, well, Pistolero. I thought it was pistol for sure. And, you know, it was the vaquero part that I was wondering about, but I guess it means, you know, well, that's what I found anyway. It means a cowboy. And I guess he rented out his guns. You know, a most unique and creative tale told, and wonderful, right, by Sandy here. Great lines, very captivating. And, you know, just wonderful, right? Camp among the chola and agave, beside the juniper and hemp, the yucca and the lupine, slowly sipping his tequila, listening to the babble of a spring. He washed the sleep from his eyes, saddled up his steady pinto, rolled his borrowed rubber pancho, kissed the lovely senorita, rode smiling into the sunrise. So yeah, he's just in this context, galloping into the sunset there, well, into the sunrise here, and you're leaving a day behind and just going into another day. You know, so he's just rolling with the punches here, just going from one job to the next, one place to the next, just, you know, real cool and real calm and, you know, just enjoying life, you know, as it comes. So wonderful story and wonderful right to that. Prompt. Very unique, very creative.
Very well said. I agree with that. That's nicely. Nice comment you have there. What do you think, Puddles?
Yeah, actually, I'm really thankful, Naomi, that you said it was a great write to the prompt because it made me go up and read the prompt. You know, if you're brave enough to say goodbye, life will reward you with a new hello. Poor Senorita, she was the goodbye. So she's having probably not a smile in her sunrise.
No.
but our cowboy's having a good day. And so he's riding off into the sunrise. But I really love the descriptors in this. I could totally feel the desert. You know, she did a great job of capturing a real sense of a free spirit who is just moving on. Like nothing is going to slow him down. He just follows the wind, becomes one with the wind, rolls in and out of the valleys, takes the game to feed himself, talking about hunting pronghorn on the grasslands. But then she goes on not just about the pronghorns, but as they graze among the scrub oaks. So she sets the whole scene for us. So it's almost like we're walking or riding alongside this cowboy, and it's very calming, and it's very free-spirited, and really enjoyable, except, you know, that poor girl left behind, but the guy's having a good day.
Absolutely. I agree with both of your comments. I thought they were both great comments. It was a vivid, you know, setting a southwestern backdrop to it. And even though I was twisted on a lot of these Spanish terms, I thought it enhanced the cultural depth of the poem, gave it an authentic touch, for sure. I like the final scene, you know, I feel like, you know, him riding in the sunset kind of symbolizes, you know, getting a fresh start and, you know, the endless possibilities that lie ahead potentially, you know. Kind of gives you that timeless allure of the open road and the freedom that it represents. Yeah, I thought it was very well done. Nice story. Absolutely. All right. Where would we be going next, Miss Naomi?
I just noticed that I've been putting the poems in the wrong group since the last three or four.
I was wondering.
I have to say sorry to that group. My gracious, they're like, you know, they're probably like, what's he doing? All these poems bombarding us. Oh, my gracious. Okay.
And save the day.
Okay, I'm getting back. You know, I don't know why the group, another group, you know, showed up in front of Light Night Poets and the other one. I don't know how this works, but anyway, how come that happens? But I got it in the two right groups now. And the next poem will be by Terry Owen, and it's called Fresh Chapters. And Barb, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us.
Sure, but I think you're doing a great job promoting the show and advertising. Who knows?
Right.
You might have gotten half dozen more people to come on over. Welcome to all the new listeners. Anyway, I think you should branch out, you know, do random postings of these. Anyways, great job. First Chapters by Terry Owen. I think we need to, like, I've done a little pre-read. I think this is a serious piece, so I kind of want to get my head in that space for a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
First Chapters by Terry Owen. Harmed by oneself or another. Evicted by my own mother. Quit beneath the quilt. Gargle grotesque guilt. Grow a new backbone. Toughen up that tone. Speak the new chapter. Crucify my capture. Speak a soulless script. Seal the conflicted crypt. Paddle beyond the reef. Wire my own wreath. End poem.
Wow, yeah. You went good. I didn't even pre-read that one. That was a very interesting take on personal adversity and growth through his life. I thought he navigated that artfully with the way he wrote the poem. And, you know, the metaphors, you know, they extend to emotional and psychological abandonment, and it sets up a tone of profound vulnerability. Very well written. I'm sure that was tough to write, but very well done. What do you think, Naomi?
Yeah, well, you know, I know Terry a bit, and, you know, she's been through such a tough time, oh my gracious, you know. And, you know, this is really written from, you know, a profound place of pain. And, you know, it's good that she's getting it out there. And, you know, when she does write, you know, it personal rights like this, you know, you feel the emotion, you feel the, you know, all the, you know, the hurt that she went through, and the pain that she's going through and the war that she's up against, you know, in her life right now. She's paddling. My gracious, she's paddling, this woman. And this is a, you know, a deep, raw, hard-hitting write, you know, Terry wrote for us, so wonderfully composed. And, you know, I just thank her so much for sharing something so deep and so personal. And, you know, I hope that it all works out for her and there'll be beautiful rainbows in her future. And wish her the best.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I appreciate them comments. Yeah, I had no clue. Yeah, that's the beauty of poetry. You know, it can be very therapeutic for people. For me too. What did you think, Puddles?
I'm hoping I can get through her sorry comments. This really hits a chord. story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
very emotional, for sure.
We can relate to it a lot, some people, you know, when you relate to it, it's really touching. Would you like us to move on to the next?
No, I just want to point out her last two lines are so powerful. It's like, paddle beyond the reef. The reef is a protective bound between the wild raging ocean and calmer, safe waters that butt up against the beach. And Terry is wanting to paddle beyond the reef. She's leaving safe harbor because my sense is she has not experienced safe harbor. So she's just going to face the wild raging ocean. And she's going to wire her own reef. And one can only think of a reef, you know, for a funeral. So there's so much depth and so much pain in this, right? I just think it's phenomenal. It's really amazing.
And very well said. Yeah, that was great. Took a lot of courage for her to share that.
Yeah.
All right, Naomi, what do you think we got next? You on mute, Naomi?
I'm on mute again. Pizza Party Pants. Oh, that's by a good vibe by Pizza Party Pants. What a name. And I guess it's my turn to read. Okay, goodbye. These were our times. I can't amend. When you were young and you were mine, reflections on your colors wore off. Can't get it off. I'm feeling dead, taken a fool with a gesture's tear. Don't play around when the garden regrets. The sun is new when I'm with you. These flowers spread petals of you in my head. Goodbye to you. You're no good for me. Goodbye for you. Say hello to me. End poem.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It wasn't what I was thinking it was going to be about when you first started reading. Nicely read, Naomi. I'll go ahead and comment on this one. So I think, you know, the reflections on your color wore off suggests a loss of, I don't know, vitality and vibrancy within the relationship. Just the inevitable wear and emotional, you know, wearing down over time. You had metaphors, taking a fool with a jester's tear. I thought that was a good line. And just combine the feelings of being made a fool with the sorrowful acknowledgement of the fact, you know, enhancing the emotional depth of the poem. You can go on and on and on about this poem. It's just very powerful contradictions. Goodbye to you. You're no good for me. Goodbye for you. Say hello to me. Bittersweet acknowledgement in parting ways, you know, how that can be both an end and a beginning. Very well written. What did you think of that one, folks?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. It seems like, was this written by the image? It looks like, Jason, so a young man. So it seems like this young man is totally enamored with this woman. Your colors wore off. Get it off. So her colors wore off on him. Like, he is filled with her colors, filled with her essence, filled with all the things that she represents in his life, and he can't get that out of his soul. He can't, like, she has become part of him. He can't get her out of his system. And so he's feeling dead because obviously she has said goodbye. And I love that coupling of concepts. Your colors wore off, can't get it off. Don't play around when the garden regrets. It's like, it sounds like he's been toyed with a little bit. He was all in and she wasn't. And, you know, that happens way too often, way too many wounded hearts out there. But I thought he did a really good job of expressing his sorrow and his loss. You're no good for me. It really is not healthy when it's a one-sided love. And so sometimes when that other person says goodbye, it really is the best for the person who was all in, because they need and they deserve to have someone who can reciprocate at full strength that love. I thought he did a really good job of expressing his sorrow.
Very well said. Yeah, I agree with your comments on that. You did a good read of that, Naomi. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, all I agree with Puddles, with, you know, Puddles Barb. You know, it was a wonderful comment that you made. You know, I think it's all a question of, you know, just choosing yourself first, putting yourself first. And sometimes, you know, although, you know, you know, a relationship or another person is you know, the everything seems to be beautiful and everything seems to be good, but sometimes that person isn't the right person for you. And, you know, you have to choose yourself. You have to choose that gut feeling way, way down. And so he's saying, I think in here he's saying goodbye to them and saying goodbye to him, to himself. Goodbye to them and hello to himself. You know, getting to know. I know you can be in a relationship, because I've been, you know, most of my relationships have, you know, swallowed up by the other person. And, you know, you don't realize it at first. Everything seems to be beautiful, going well. But then you lose yourself in that other person. And you stop doing what you usually do. Stop being you. You stop, you know, like, stop. If you're painting, you stop painting. You stop, you know, and you get swallowed up. So I think that's what he's doing here. He's saying goodbye to that other person, saying hello to himself. Could be mistaken, but that's what I got out of it. Wonderful, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I agree with your comments. I think that's what all of us aspire for. You know, you like to think you're a happy person, and you meet a happy person, you both can be happy together, but it always don't always work that way. But that's lessons in life we have to learn, right? All right. What do you think on the next one there, Naomi?
I am. I have to get right up the next one. I'm still saying sorry to the owner of that group, believe it or not, for putting us so many poems in his group. Oh, my gracious. Okay. So the next one we'll have up is going to be by Chinaski, and we do have a SoundCloud for that one. I'm just making sure I'm putting it in the right group here. Oh, my gracious. Okay. Chinaski, and yeah, we do
Horizon
have a SoundCloud.
Horizon seeps rivulets into creation. The beautiful pinkish bouquets of sun's demise into an ocean pool. Its imperfections, acrylic carved strokes, frozen frames painted, bring in tiny seeds into the labyrinth. Vision pulls eyes into the cocoon, its fertile cribs under blankets, planting another flower in the garden.
Are you there, Jody? Are you on mute?
Back. My daughter would not stop calling me. She don't know what I'm doing right now.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I meant to hang up on her and hung up on everybody. But here I am. All right, so would you like to comment on that name and give me a chance to read it?
Yeah. This is a beautiful use of nature in a poem that embraces renewal and growth of both nature and ourselves, I find. You know, so in that way, you know, beautiful, wonderful brevity. And, you know, I just love how he uses he uses such beautiful colors in this, and you know, it's just a beautiful image for the eye. You know, we just dance in that bouquet, but you know, it also has a wonderful message in here. You know, to embrace renewal and growth, and so we're so well done. Birth of the flower. The flower being, you know, a flower, nature of our planet Earth, or ourselves, I find. So can work both ways. Wonderful, right, by Chinaski.
Very well said. What do you think of that one, Puddles?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I thought he used a lot of really creative language. Like pure poetic language. It wasn't straightforward. I love intelligent poems, and this is very intelligent because you have to think beyond the obvious. And he talks about beautiful pinkish bouquets of sun's demise. Well, when the sun's dying, it's a sunset. Sunsets are just crimson and oranges and golds. And so now you're thinking of this pink bouquet that has all these different hues in it, because he's described the bouquet as the sun's demise. What a creative way to describe a bouquet of flowers. And then this bouquet is somehow melding into an ocean pool, which now you're thinking of reflections and depth and a little bit of shimmering, just so many beautiful images. And then the end, talking about fertile cribs. And, you know, prior to that, he's talking about tiny seeds. So obviously these seeds are being planted. And he's calling the crypts or a crib. That's where you've buried the seeds. But, of course, those seeds eventually come and grow into new flowers and new gardens, and the whole process begins again. I thought it was I love intellectual poems, and this was a gem. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that I've had a chance to read it, I totally agree. Thought he had vivid imagery and just wonderful, meticulous, you know, almost divine artistry at work. You know, I thought overall the poem was just a beautiful ode to the physical nature of life, you know, where everything... Every end is a precursor to a new beginning, right? And I encapsulate that in the metaphor of the flower's birth going from seed to bloom, right, in that journey. Very well done. All right. What do you think, Naomi? What we got on tap?
Okay. So now next we have Crow, the Lake of the Muse. And I guess it's your turn to read, Jody.
All right. Here we go. Okay. The Lake of the Muse. The lake ripples violet and indigo, reflecting the dense Milky Way, warmed by the bodies of poets who come to swim naked and play. They come bringing gifts of bright flowers, red bundles, a song, or a play, offering left in the root knots or tied in the branches that sway. Oak branches cast in the moonlight, reflecting on water they sway. Sweet offerings made to the muses awaken new thoughts in the day. They come to the lake in the moonlight, and they come in the bright of the day, immersing themselves in her passion, till surrendering, let's come what may. They say the lake causes madness, and they know for some, yes, it may, but they swim the fine edges of reason, for that is the poet's true way. Influence. Very nicely written. What did you think of that, Naomi?
Well, you know, madness, yeah. You know, if it's perfection, you know, that's my madness. But, you know, I don't think she means that, you know, it's just me, you know, with my madness. You know, I have to be perfect all the time. Well, I try to be perfect all the time, and I am not perfect, way from it, but, you know, just gets in my head. But, you know, what an amazing write on how poetry helps us evolve and grow. You know, I really like this. You know, I loved it. You know, how she used nature. You know, they quote poets, you know, and bodies. The poets who came out to swim naked and play. And, you know, we bare ourselves in a way. We become naked through our words, you know. If we want to be real, raw, authentic, we have to come naked, and we have to play, you know, be ready to play with the words, with our emotions, and get it out there, get it real, get it, you know, on the page. And, you know, I just love the way they come to the lake in the moonlight, and they come in the bright of the day, immersing themselves in our passion till surrendering, let come what may. You know, immersing themselves in their passion, you know, just letting all that out and, you know, letting what pours out what may, like she says in the poem, just letting it all out. And, you know, in that way, yeah, you do float on the edge of madness because you experience all these emotions and, you know, you swim, like she says, the fine edges of reason. For that is the poet's true way. Yeah, very well written. I really like this, The Lake of the Muse. Very intriguing and thought-provoking and very beautifully well written.
Wonderful comment, Naomi. Puddles, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, it makes me want to go on a poet's retreat. I'll tell you that. I want to hang out with all these people in this beautiful space. I thought it was
cool.
Hey, will you come? Will you guys come? Can we do one?
Oh,
come.
Yeah. This would be cool. I would stalk poetry.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm going to leave you to organize that, Naomi. I'm coming. I loved the imagery of this, and I love how she wove in the heart of the poet. Is just, you know, how nature can draw it out of us, and then as it draws this beauty out of us, we create beauty of our own, and in our own way give back to nature and help in the creation of nature, help and encourage others to see and appreciate perhaps a deeper beauty in nature. Like, I do think poetry helps the poet and the reader look past the superficial, past the surface. I think there's a creativity in poetry that helps you look at things perhaps from a different angle, certainly a different depth. And I really loved her last stanza. They say the lake causes madness, and they know for some, yes, it may, but they swim the fine edges of reason, for that is the poet's true way. I think that poetry, at least I know for me, you have to sit with yourself, and you just listen to what your heart is saying. You listen to what your soul is saying, and you find a flow, you find a path to channel it and get it onto the page. But to do that, you have to sit in whatever that emotion is so deeply that I think you feel and you kind of just stew in it more than you otherwise might. I don't think most people want to sit in their anguish just for the fun of it. But poets do it because they have this absolute craving and need to understand and describe what they're going through, or perhaps to put themselves in someone else's life situation and try and understand and explain what they might be going through. And I think that really can bring you to madness. To sit so deeply in your own pain can drive you to madness. And she said it so beautifully. And I just thought this was a really pretty poem from the first word to the last word. And it just had a really beautiful cadence and flow to it that I really enjoyed. I really identify with this poem.
And very well said. I like that comment. Yeah, I agree. I thought the ending was pretty awesome, too.
Whoops. I lost Jody, I think. Maybe
his daughter called again.
That's it. We'll go on to the next. Oh, you're back? Okay,
I'm back,
Jody.
Yeah. No, it was totally my daughter again. I'm trying to take her off of the call. I just pulled up to her house, so I'm going to walk in and tell her, like, hey, quit calling.
Do you want me to take over for a second? No, you're fine.
Okay. I was getting ready to say, I thought, you know, this poem, it had a delicate balance, you know, the beauty of inspiration with the madness it can bring. I thought the final lines, you know, they were suggesting, you know, that you need to fully engage with one's creativity. You know, in order to do that, you must be willing to surrender to unpredictable currents of inspiration. I thought she got that point across real well. And it's almost as if, like, she's suggesting that the inspiration is, you know, both a reflection of the self and the external world. So, yeah, I thought that was a great poem, too. I wanted to get that in there before I walk in here, but, yeah, no, it's all good. My daughter's persistent. You've never met her. But yeah, I thought she did a very good job with that poem. Awesome. I'm going to try not to hang up again, I promise.
That's okay. My gracious, you're running around crazy trying to do a show at the same time.
Oh, it was a good time.
If I'm not sitting down quiet, my gracious, to do a show, I could never do it. I could never do it like you're doing it. So bravo.
I literally had like 30 seconds when I finally got parked. Like, all right.
I was going to get you to read the next poem, but it's Discovering Me Through Poetry. I put two up there, but it's Discovering Me Through Poetry. I just put up the other one.
I got you. All right. Yeah, you see it?
Okay.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. All right. Discovering Me Through Poetry. Retired but not expired. The wife and job were gone, so are the days of my youth. Peeling back the onion, I found self-worth. No fanfare, no wallowing in self-pity. Landing on a small plot of land in Ohio, I planted a cherry tree. It bore fruit, ancient and isolated. My grandchildren began to grow like weeds. No punishment for my past transgressions. I followed a still, small voice. It gave me synchronous vibes. I laugh at myself now, unable to turn back. Paying the boatman is all I have left. I have everything and nothing. It's the first time in my life I've been free. Free to make my own choices without considering others. I don't look any different. I don't act any different. I'm completely different. The freedom is interesting. I'm not used to it yet. Perhaps I'll become a writer. and phone. What do you think of that one, Puddles?
Yeah, I thought Scott did a great job with this. There's a few lines that really stick out to me as being quite profound. I don't look any different. I don't act any different. I am completely different. There's a lot going on in those three lines. I think that when you make a lot of external changes, there's a lot of internal changes that just aren't seen by other people. And it sounds like that's what Scott's describing. And I love that he feels like he got away with all his life's transgressions, that he has a very loving, forgiving family. Not sure what he did, but his grandkids obviously still adore him. And I think that's great when family stands by you. And it sounds like he's got that. And it's sad that the marriage didn't work out. It's sad that he had to pick up roots and move on. He felt like he needed a new start, but it has a real happy ending. He's found a new Scott, and he seems to be really thriving. Again, that whole message that we're hearing over and over tonight, that, you know, a door closes, walk through into the next one, because there's some surprises there for you. There's new potential and new growth and new horizons. Just have the courage to do it. And it would have taken a lot of courage to pick up stakes and buy a farm in Ohio. Just a lot of courage here with, it seems like, a very big payoff. And, yeah, I think he's doing a great job of becoming a writer. I think that was tongue-in-cheek. I'm sure he's been doing this for decades. Really enjoyed this one.
Great comment. What do you think, Naomi?
I love Barb's comment. Yeah, it was a great comment. And yeah, I don't know Scott Ward very, very much. You know, I think this is maybe I don't know if this is the first time I'm reading him, but yeah, he sounds like a, you know, pretty adventurous, go-get-it guy, you know. You know, sometimes things don't work out, and, you know, I know my relationships, they never did. But, yeah, and, you know, but, you know, you just have to turn around and, you know, go on to the next thing and then believe in it. And, you know, and I think, like you said, Barb, you know, those three sentences are so, so important in the poem. You know, I don't look any different. I don't act any different. I'm completely different. You know, when you gain that freedom, you know, when you become, I think it's starting to know who you really are when you're without others around you. Like trying to please others or trying to, you know, you shape your choices to fulfill the needs of others. Of course, life, you have to do that in life. That's part of life, you know, sacrificing and everything. But I mean, when you find that complete liberty of expression and you come to know yourself as who you really are deep inside, you gain a kind of freedom, I think. And, yeah, and I think that was tongue-in-cheek, too. Perhaps I'll become a writer because, you know, after all, he is writing. So, yeah, great, great write. And found, again, it sounds very authentic and real and raw, this write.
Well, and if I could just interject here for 1 minute, another thing I love about poetry is that you can bring your own story to it as you're reading it. So any mom or dad empty nester is going to totally understand where you have to reinvent yourself once the kids go. You have to rediscover who you are because you've just spent 2 decades pouring in to your youngins, and you lose yourself in that. And so that's another thing that's awesome about poetry is just you bring your own story and you can get your own message, different messages for different people from the exact same poem, especially good poems like this.
Absolutely, I agree. Well said. Yeah, I think the opening lines set a tone of, you know, loss and transition, you know, acknowledging the departure of significant life chapters such as career and family. But yet, rather than dwelling in that sorrow, you know, he quickly shifted it towards, you know, self-reclamation and renewal. Yeah, I just thought he, you know, the themes of redemption and inner guidance, you know, as, you know, he listened to that still, small voice, you know, gave a sense of synchronicity and alignment with life's mysterious flow that we go through. Yeah, kind of like a metamorphosis in his later life. Yeah, I thought you did a wonderful job with that. Very, very nice write. Very nice write. Well done. All right. What do you think, Naomi? We on to
yeah.
The next?
Yeah.
We still on Carrie?
Next. Yeah, this is the last one, Jody. The last
right.
Carryover. Yeah. Finally. Aileen K.O. Gamo, and it's called I Am Not Too Old to Set New Goals. And I think, Puddles, it's Barb, it's your turn to read.
Hey, thanks, Naomi. I Am Not Too Old to Set New Goals by Aileen K.O. Gamo. I am not too old to set new goals, albeit I lived more years, at least to fire stresses of old ages and loneliness's fears. I need to plan how to deal with my current condition to set free the remaining time for better jubilation. Goals aren't only boldly wishes those might reach at the peak of success, but are good wishes to emancipate our soul to break past sin's nexuses. By dreaming and doing new road of repentance's bridge, I can set goals whenever I seek for my future not to incur new suffrage. The rest work isn't mine, but it's all on the hands of God.
All right. Nicely read. What do you think of that one, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, this is a wonderful, honest write on looking on oneself truthfully, reevaluating your options and making new changes. And, I think, you know, whatever age you are, you're never too old to set new goals for yourself. And, I love, you know, that he, in the last line, he says, the rest work isn't mine, but it's all on the hands of God. You know, there's a part of it that you have to leave, you have to be vulnerable enough to leave it to the hands of God or a higher power or whoever you believe in. You know, you can't take charge of everything. You can't say this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Yeah, you can't predict everything, your whole future. You know, you're going to roll into, you know, challenges along the way or life's going to get in the way. You know, it's going to bring you stuff, you know, you can't control everything. So in that way, you know, you have to be vulnerable enough to leave life take charge a bit, you know, but you can, I think, take chances in life and try and build things and set goals for yourself. But, you know, you can't control everything. So a wonderful, wonderful write.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly what I was thinking. Nicely said. I think, you know, the whole essence of the poem is the beautiful reminder that life at any stage holds possibilities and new beginnings. You know, that the human spirit is capable of renewal and redemption no matter how many years you are. It's definitely an empowering call not to accept the passing of time, but to, you know, like you said, actively engage, setting new goals that are going to enrich your soul. I think he humbly acknowledges, you know, the limits of human effort an ultimate reliance on a higher power. But yeah, it has a definite sense of faith and surrender to the divine. Nicely written. I like that poem. You did a great read of that. What did you think of that one, Bo?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of important stages that Alim is walking through here that I think a lot of the world's population is currently entering into, you know, growing older and losing perhaps in your mind your place in society and taking a new place on the stage and trying to figure out what part do I now play? What's my part? And he says loneliness is fierce. So he's added that one word, loneliness. So it leads me to wonder, you know, obviously now his kids are grown or perhaps loved ones have died. And he's now, not only is he needing to set new goals for himself, he's needing to do it in a different stage of his life where perhaps he is more alone than he has been before. So it's change upon change that he's trying to find his new self. And you know, Scott in the prior poem was talking about he physically moved to a different location and in that location facilitated a discovery of a new Scott. It sounds like Alim is in his same environment, but his journey is no less distant or expansive. Because when we enter into old age, we just have so much to figure out because no one wants to be redundant. Nobody wants to just be a blob that takes up space. We all want to contribute to others and to our own self-development. And so this is really a message for a lot of people who are entering this phase of life, trying to just figure out who's the new me. And I want that person to be as fun and exciting and meaningful as the me I've just left behind me. I think there's a lot of really important messaging in this piece.
Absolutely, I agree. Wonderful comment. Before we get to the next poem, I'd like to welcome Diane to the show. Hi, Diane.
Hey, Diane.
Hello, guys and gals. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Very well.
How are you? Awesome. Ready to hear some poetry.
I'm glad you could join us. I think Naomi's probably getting that up right now, aren't you, Naomi?
Yeah, I put it up. And Diane, yeah, you're right in time. I'm going to get you to read the next wonderful poem for us called Horizon.
I would love to do that. Now, clue how to pronounce this name. So I'm going to say it's Horizon. And it's by our friend, the poet, Gay. Gay. That works for me because I can't pronounce that name, guys. Anyway, it's called Horizon. And it says, as the sun blazes on, I stride along the countryside. The rows of bullock carts, goats and cows tied to pegs. A warm smile of an unknown face are striking features of the walk. A little kid is being fed, her mother pointing to the sun. As he hears the tale of sun, he swallows morsels, no rejects. Then I see a bubbling stream. It almost is like a river. Village urchins, fair and brown, bathing there, learning to swim. A little lad there plays on the waters, trying to catch the evading sun. Oh, how I wish I could tell him that it was just the reflection. Cowherds grazing the cattle home as it was almost sunset time. Milkmaids milking their cows, some busy filling their pots. As it approaches sunset time, I join a group of farmer men. Tired walk, they plod down their way, humming a folklore all the way. The clayey feet and fatigued hands pushing. bullocks with the plow. It is a beautiful evening scene. In a village alone it can be seen. I walk along the country farm, nature's best hue of all. Soaring gull, or the pecking hens, the racing bulls, wading ducks and gnawing fish. Soaring gulls, the pure of white, flying ravens, black as coal. The sheeny brown horses, mare, traded cattle, black and white. The village shandy was a sight, I vow. Shandy was a sight, I vow. Farther down the river flows at sunset the burning horizon. My eyes freeze at the blazing sight, burning embers fill the sky. The ruin of the horizon, a blend of colors, yellow to red. Flames of orange streak the peach, I stand still, the silent sight. The sky and the earth meeting there in the dipping of the glowing globe. The raging waters streaming out, the shades of coconut and green palm. As I walk the narrow path flanked by green on either side, I hear the birds calling off the day, flocks flying against the orange sky, the moo of cows, the quack of geese, a mother bird reaching her nest after the toil for her food. I smell the tissues of withered leaves and bark, heating up a village broth. Little chicks like paper dolls pecking on the darkened sand, the deepened hues of the horizon, the paint intense nature's hue. As I walk back home, I see the rippled ball of white on the waters flowing by. Well, I see a painting, same again, the colorful clouds of canvas canopy, the sunset in a village scene is breathtaking to do see it once. End poem.
Very well done, Diane. Nice read. Such a vivid poem. What do you think about it, Puddles?
I thought it was beautiful. I want to go visit that village. It sounds absolutely pastoral and peaceful, and there's just so many descriptors. It brought the village to life. I'm scanning, trying to find the one. I'm not sure I'm going to find it. I love where the little boy was trying to capture the setting sun. And then someone said, dude, it's a reflection. Oh, yeah, there it is. As a little lad, there plays on the waters, trying to catch the evading sun. Oh, how I wish I could tell him that it was just the reflection. I just think of all those little videos of kittens and puppies chasing, you know, lights that their owners are making them scurry all over the place. I'm just imagining this young lad just jumping in the waves, trying to catch the sun. It just makes me smile thinking about almost every line had a heartwarming image brought to my mind. And I really enjoyed the entire thing. I think did a great job creating a tapestry of a village. And I really feel like I have the essence of this village in my heart now. I really enjoyed it.
Well said. Yeah, I agree. I thought his use of language and rhythm definitely invited the reader to walk alongside the narrator while he's experiencing the warmth of the sun and the coolness of the stream. He not only celebrates the beauty of nature and the rhythm of rural life, but he has a deeper connection between, you know, people and their environment, you know, marked by harmony and a profound sense of belonging, I think. It's a very well-written poem. What do you think, Naomi?
Yeah, well, you know, I had to look up, you know, where this poet was from. And, you know, he or she is from a village in South India, Nadu. South India. So, you know, you get this wonderful vibe of, you know, nature. And yeah, I want to go to South India for sure. And you know, you were saying, you know, the Jody, you know, the sense of togetherness, or the people together, the village together. And I think we find that in that, because this is the first right to the new contest, you know, that was with the Black Puma, the color song, and the art of Jim Warren. And, you know, in one of those artworks of Jim Warren, we did have like a sunset, you know, over the water. But I think this rite also incorporates the feeling of a camaraderie, or, you know, the sense of togetherness that was in the song Colors also. And, yeah, great. You know, I don't know where to start. I'm going to leave Diane a bit of time to comment, because, my gracious, the imagery in here is just to die for. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head with the way she incorporated the theme of the contest into that poem. What did you think, Diane?
Oh, you know what? I love this piece, and I love reading it. It's like, you know, if I only have a half hour on the show today, I've heard everything already that I needed to hear that just blew me out of the water. I got emotional reading this, but I want to try the name, because this deserves me to give the name a whirl, and I think it's called Gayatri Krishna Mudri, and that's our writer. And I just want to say the imagery, like Naomi said, you know, it's beautiful. Not only the colors that brings, you know, as the sun blazes on us, strides along the countryside, and this village or this place or this whatever got this writer and whatnot, they pulled it out of there brilliantly. Pegs, but the wording that was used to describe some of the things, like as he hears the tales of the sun, he swallows morsels, no rejects. You know, like the metaphor in that of, you know, what he's grasping as he sees through this landscape and you know, not giving any of it back and enjoying it. And cowherds grazing the cattle home, it was almost sunset time. Milkmaids milking their cows, like, what era, you know, it's not a culture that I'm used to, but it's just beautifully described. I can't even, wooing of the horizon, a blend of colors, yellow to red. And then he goes down here to say, with the farmers. He's standing with the farmers, and the way he describes their tired bodies as it approaches sunset time, I join a group of farmer men, tired walks. They plod down their way, humming a folklore all the way. Beautiful description, and the best, I'm going to end with this because I know I'm taking up a lot of time, but this is just too beautiful. I'm going to end with the sunset in a village scene is breathtaking. Do see it once. I love that. Do see it once. What a way to end it. If you can see anything once, put this on your bucket list. And I don't know if this is a gal or a gentleman, but the writing is amazing. Beautiful piece. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to read it.
Absolutely. It was a great read and a great comment. I think we could do a whole show on that poem probably. Definitely. That was well done. Where are we going next, Naomi?
Well, next I have Puddle's poem up, and she does have a SoundCloud for it. So here we go, Barb.
When Rainbows Melt by Barb Christing. Melancholy moon calls to me, all sorrow and empty skies, wisps of fog and mist, a ghostly mirage of destinations long since abandoned. My aimless wanderings vibrate against the night's vast veil. When the colors came, I could not tell you, but they fell from the heavens in bold streaks of crimson and sage, aqua and violet, and an orange so pure I could almost taste its sweetness. They soaked into my skin, flowed through my veins, and reignited my heart to pulse with a depth and a strength and a hope I had not felt since the weight of the world swallowed me up. In the vibrancy of these hues, I feel the passing of the storm. I throw down my guard and embrace the waterfall of light that promises renewal. I will bathe in this glorious palette of joy that comes when rainbows melt to wash me in a bright new day.
Wow, very well done. I love the SoundCloud too. What do you think of that, Naomi?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm always impressed with your rights, you know that, eh, Barb? But, you know, this is just amazing. You know, the wisp of fogs and mist, a ghostly mirage of destinations long since abandoned. My aimless wanderings vibrate against the night's vast veil. Oh, that's so beautiful, that the way you worded that stanza, you know, the emotions there that are conveyed. And then when the colors came, I could not tell you, but they fell from heaven. And then all your description of the colors, oh my gracious. And then, you know, the hope that's in this poem. You know, I will bathe in this glorious palette of joy that comes when rainbows melt to wash me in a bright new day. So, you know, just the vast extension of the emotions that you make us live through when reading this poem is just amazing. We, you know, we go from somebody who is melancholic, you know, like kind of aimless, wandering there, and you know, and to somebody who gets like a, I don't know, like a rush of hope or something, you know, that overcomes him, and his heart feels, and the you know, the relief passes over them like the rain. And then, you know, the hope of the new day. I think you captured that artwork just beautifully, you know, in a unique creative way, creative style, giving it us a great message here, inspirational message of renewal. And beautifully well done. I love that. Rainbows melt.
Yeah, thanks, Naomi.
Yeah, that was a great comment, Naomi. What do you think about it, Diane?
Oh, brilliantly written. And your voice on the SoundCloud, Barb, you have a voice that you can emphasize the words and pull me into the word, and I get the individual words out of it, like wisp of fog and mist, or my aimless wanderings. I feel you in the words, and you pronounce them so well and everything. And just, you know, I just caught the title again after Naomi said it, When Rainbows Melt. And you captured these colors of the rainbow in this image and in your poem beautifully. Like, and where you were at in that fog, you know, I feel your fog, that night, vast veil. I could feel like a black veil of night, and where you were at, how are you going to get out of it? And then this rainbow melts and the colors drop down from the rainbow onto from the heavens onto you and all around you, and you make me want to go through the fridge and pull out an orange, because the way you described that orange, so pure, I could almost taste its sweetness. I just want an orange now. But you touched all my senses with the colors and the taste of the orange and everything. And then you end with, when rainbows melt, to wash me in a bright new day. Like, what a beautifully hope-based ending that gives, you know, what you walked through and what you came out the other side is just amazingly written and captured beautifully. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, thanks, Diane. Your comments actually have touched me, made me a little emotional. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of them. Both of them, that was incredible read and write. You know, the theme of resilience, renewal, and the healing power of beauty, you know, and it transitions to seamlessly from healing or finding hope, you know, in the midst of despair. I thought the physical sensations described, you know, colors that can be tasted and felt, like soaking into the skin and flowing through the veins. Now that emphasized, you know, that deep impact of that transformation. Yeah, I love the melting rainbows too. That's a wonderful line. It's a very powerful depiction, you know, human capacity to endure darkness and emerge into the light, right? Yeah, I thought that theme resonated throughout the entire poem. Very well done.
Thanks, Jody.
You got anything you'd like to add on writing that?
Well, not really. I think you guys really captured it. I think you guys caught what I was trying to say, and that's very rewarding. It means a lot to me. And, you know, it's just like the message is hang in there, because every storm really does have a rainbow, and just wait for those colors to soak into you. Especially anyone who's going through a trial right now, just trust in the rainbow. It's coming.
Very well said. All right, Naomi, what do you got next for us?
Okay, next I have RJC with Crayola. And I think it's since that was a SoundCloud, Barb, you can read the next one, I guess, for us.
Okay. Crayola Aged by RJC. Sprinkled with beautiful colors, were you meant to be a door? We both had lives in monochrome the day we met, since with Kodachrome, filled our naivety with laughters and tears, entangled our fusion without any fear. Nostalgic moments we shared seemed like yesterday. We cared. Mysteries of mixed emotions obliterated without repulsions. I will cling to your hand again till my last breath as long as I can, for you painted this canvas of ours with radiant rainbow hues. End poem.
Nice read, Puddles. What do you think of that one, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I think this had a beat that kind of mirrored the poem, the poem, the song. I don't know, like, this kind of vibe to it. And, you know, I think that word was meant to be, I think it was Kodachrome. A Kodak moment, a Kodachrome. I think, because I reread it a couple of times before this show. And I think that's what it was, a Kodachrome. Filled our naivety with laughter and tears, entangled our fusion without any fear. Nostalgic moments we share, seems like yesterday we cared. You know, like just wonderful, Crayola aged. And, you know, you have the painting there, the artwork, where you see the young couple, and now they've aged, and you know that they're like upside down, they're standing up, you know, with the reflection. There's the elderly couple, and they're growing old together. So just beautifully well written all the way through, and wonderful, wonderful, right?
Absolutely, Diane. What did you think about the poem?
Oh, I agree with Naomi. I think that word Kodak Chrome was probably because what I felt the writer giving to me here was this pathway that they've been on together, and all of a sudden it's filled with color, and they painted this, as in the last two lines, this canvas together with radiant rainbow hues, and they came out together, and they talk about the nostalgic moments they shared. It seems like yesterday. So they're like, yes, they have aged, and they have been on this journey together, and they lived lives in monochrome, one color, and a colorless life, right? And then when they met, life became Kodak Chrome, and the beautiful thing about it all is that they painted this together, this journey. And it's a love story with a beautiful color captured and attained to an image that is as beautiful. That's not right.
Yeah, very well said. What did you think of that? You did a very good read of that one.
No, I thought it was beautiful, and I love love stories that last the test of time. It's very heartwarming to see old people still holding hands, so I love that RJ wrote about, I will cling to your hand again till my last breath, as long as I can, for you painted this canvas of ours with radiant rainbow hues. So he's giving a lot of the credit for the color of their lives and the joy of their lives to his mate. And that's just a real beautiful tribute. And he did a really good job capturing that image and painting just a really beautiful poem about two people growing old in their love together, you know, well seasoned with time. You know, their love has cured and is now this fine, fine thing between those two individuals. It's a beautiful piece.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought my grandparents as this was being read because, you know, that they had a long relationship. You know, they married 50-something years. But yeah, it has a deep sense of nostalgia and, you know, profound emotional connection talking about and the enduring power of, you know, shared memories and how a bond is unbreakable. Yeah, I thought he did a very good job with this poem. You know, painted in the vibrant colors too, you know, and other experiences and emotions. Awesome imagery. I really love the poems that have been coming from this contest so far. I'm glad Naomi's the one judging it. Good Lord.
No. You're gonna jump. You guys are gonna be judging it with me.
It's gonna be awesome to read the rest of these, for sure. We only got a couple minutes, I guess. I want to thank everybody for coming on with us, Diane and Puddles. I thought you guys did great commenting tonight. It's a pleasure to share the show with you. Naomi, you're always great as ever. Thank you, everybody.
I loved hanging out with all of you, and wow, some amazing poems tonight. A lot of gifted poets here on AQ.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what it's all about. But, you know, the gifts.
I'm glad
people,
I was able to make it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, Diane. We are always happy to have you.
So worth it. So worth it.
I did end up with a fat lip. I went to kiss my daughter, tell her quit calling me, and she busted me in my lip.
Oh, my gracious.
Quite the event the last 2 hours. Thanks for bearing with me.
I think there's a poem in there somewhere. I think
I
one's going to come.
Sure will.
You wonder, eh?
All right, good night,
everybody.
Good night.
Good night,
have a good
all.
Night.